Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Radio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 7:01 p.m. and that is Central Time. And today is August 8th, and I do apologise for the late recording. I just got off the plane, got home, and putting a couple of things away. And I concentrated today in the commentary. I brought it on the plane, thinking about the difference between a secular bull market and an industrial revolution, and what might be re required in terms of the driver for an industrial revolution, and what the likelihood is that the secular trend will continue that we've had underway since 2008. But I think when I look at what's been happening in the markets today, there's quite a bit of action. And the 10-year treasury yield in China is still moderating. We had a good size jump about 3 weeks ago, but no real follow through on the upside. And this kind of demand for bonds isn't particularly encouraging. It suggests that there really is stress in the economy, and the H-share index continues to pull back. Now, nothing in a dynamic manner, but still easing back. And there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen in terms of the property market. And the reason that I think investors are interested in this is simple, that China could be one of the potential big levers of fresh liquidity that could help to drive the bull market higher in risk assets. And so far, they've been unwilling to pull that lever. So, that also, of course, is going to have a knock-on effect for the energy markets and the wider commodity markets. And it was a particularly volatile day in crude oil markets, where we had a big drawdown. Now, there were several news issue points, but I think the clear conclusion here is that we've had a really quite large tail on the candle. It's in the region of the peaks from back between January and April. It's an area where we might anticipate a little bit of pause and consolidation. That's exactly what's underway. The sequence of higher reaction lows is still in place. It's continuing to find support in the region of the 200-day moving average. And I think when we zoom out and look at the weekly chart, it has broken the medium-term downtrend. Now, the USA is expecting to have record production, and stockpiles are expected to rise, but and also that China's imports have been the lowest in years, but nonetheless, prices are still marching higher here, so this is still pointing towards a relatively tight environment. And then let's also just think about the wider commodity sector. So, if we look at the LME Metals Index, obviously there's a big weighting here for the likes of copper, but it isn't breaking higher. In fact, it is now trading back below the 1,000-day moving average, and there's been a downward bias all year. So, that 3,500 level is a big one, because it's the upper side of the underlying range that was underway from about 2012 until 2020. And if it breaks, well, then this whole contention that we're in a new secular bull market for commodities isn't going to be all that convincing. Now, of course, when oil is going up and metal prices are going down, then you've got a pretty strange environment. And of course, that has to do with the war in Ukraine and putting some doubt on the potential for Russia to continue to export oil with impunity through the Black Sea. But then you have the specter of much lower growth coming out of China, which would have a deleterious effect on the industrial resources. So, this is a very much a trend-driven environment where it's simply, I don't think it's going to be particularly rewarding to take a broad perspective and say that all commodities are likely to rise, but it's going to be much more based upon individual trends. So the agriculture fund, or the Invesco, the futures fund, it's continuing to unwind a short-term overbought condition, coming back to test the region of the 200-day moving average and the succession of higher reaction lows. I think that there is still plenty of potential for upside in the grains and beans. Rough rice prices are holding on here around the 16 level, and we could easily see additional upside here. The fact is that we're in a new El Nino environment that generally delivers drier weather to Southeast Asia. And that's the major rice consumption area in the global economy. Then, of course, we've had a great deal of volatility in wheat, and the price has been up and down in a violent manner, but it has popped over the last couple of days, and that is beginning to suggest at least near-term support around that 600 cent level. Now, the other big tail in the candle we saw today was in the US banks. So it's becoming increasingly clear that they're going to be on the hook for bailing out the regional banks last March. And there will be a higher cost imposed upon them. So the index pulled back rather violently in early trading, but then recouped a lot of the loss because the costs are probably going to be spread across all of them. There isn't going to be any particular bank is going to be more inconvenienced than others. But certainly the performance of the banking sector is certainly worth continuing to pay attention to. And it is sandwiched right now between the 200-day and the 1,000-day moving averages. It's had the impressive rebound from those lows put in back in March, and it's going to have to sustain a move back above that 1,000-day moving average in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Now, let's also just keep an eye on what's happening with the Nasdaq. So, we've had at some easier action, but there's a tail in the candle in here as well today. Down 134 points and coming back into the region of the 15,000 handle. It is pulling back into the underlying trading range, but closing in the upper regions of that range. So this is still a reasonably consistent trend higher. But it is looking a little tired up here around 16,000, which is the peak from back in 2021. So I think a deeper process of consolidation wouldn't be at all surprising in here. And Apple has broken its short-term uptrend. Now, it was steadier today in the region of the 180 level, and we might see a little bit of steadier action. But this setback right now is showing up on the weekly chart. But it's pausing right in the region of the peak from back in 2021. It's given up the 3 trillion handle. It's back to 2.8 trillion. I was of the view that, and when I opened my short position, I didn't think that they'd get to 3 trillion. But I think the market is beginning to catch up with that perspective. And $3 trillion is still an awful lot of money. Now, when we think then about, well, let's just stick, for example, for a moment with the technology sector and look at Bitcoin. It had a good sized upper dynamic yesterday, and you have some speculation that the SEC isn't going to just permission one ETF, but could easily permission multiple. And if that's the case, well, then there's going to be an asset accumulation phase, and there'll be a rush on to try and capture Bitcoin. So that is lending some support to it. But it was relatively unchanged in here today, down about $190. But it has now broken the short-term downward bias, and it is still hovering here around the 30 level. Now, Riot Platforms is going to report earnings in the after market tomorrow. It pulled way back down to the $15 area and then rebounded in here today. I think this is a low of at least near-term significance, and it's demonstrating some support in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range. If Bitcoin pops on the upside, it's going to take some of these related shares higher as well, and this continues to look like a recovery candidate, at least from my perspective. Now let's also just think about what's going on in the rest of the world. The pound had a little bit of vertigo up around the 130 level, but it hasn't really pulled back in a very dynamic manner. And so far, this looks like a little bit of consolidation, and it is steadying in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. It's well back up inside the overhead trading range, having had the failed downside break. The balance of probabilities is that over the course of this recovery, it could go back up and test the upper side of the range, which would be around 140. But in order to do that, then recent support will have to hold. There's definitely been more of a turn towards the dividend aristocrat type companies. So the FTSE 100 is steadying and it's holding around the 7,500 point level. Now, we had the big downside key reversal 2 weeks ago. It hasn't really had any follow through on the downside. If it can continue to find support here at 7,500, I think that's about the best possible scenario that we could have, that it's actually putting in some support. Then I think it's also important to continue to watch what's happening in the banking sectors around the world. And the Eurostoxx Banks Index was down in a quite dynamic fashion in here today, and it did not recoup all of its decline like the S&P 500 banks did. The price right now is in the region of the peaks from early this year and back in 2022. So it's a natural area where we might anticipate some support. But the fact is that the ECB is no longer paying interest on deposits. So, on the one hand, that is difficult for banks to bear because they don't have much choice than to put deposits with the central bank. So they're guaranteed to lose money. And then at the same time, it's means that they're going to put the minimum in the central bank. They'll have additional resources that they'll have to put to work elsewhere to try and earn a return. And of course, that is aimed at trying to get credit moving once more in the euro area. But banks are probably then also at a disadvantage in trying to find places to actually put money to work. So, what happens in terms of interest rates is obviously going to have a knock-on effect for the banking sector. Now, when we look at the 10-year Treasury yield, it's back testing the 4% level. And this is looking potentially like a failed upside break. We had the downside key reversal 4 days ago, and we've had a little bit of follow-through on the downside. So, there is obviously a lot of angst around the volume of debt that's being issued, the intransigence of the unfunded liabilities, and no real desire by the political class to address the issue. Ultimately, then there is the fresh concern about what will the Fed do in terms of raising interest rates, what's going to happen in terms of inflation. And I think more than a few people are finally starting to think about what happens when the yield curve is trending higher. So we've had a fairly impressive rebound, but it hasn't quite yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs. The time to be most acutely aware of risk in the stock market is when it is trending up through the zero bound. So I continue to monitor the yield curve really rather closely. But I think we've had at least some pause and consolidation in the wider markets. Just about every stock market was in negative territory today. And you don't see this sea of red all that often. So we're definitely getting at least pause and consolidation. And we're coming through the earnings season, and most companies have disappointed, not in a profound way, but certainly the expectations have not been met, and those expectations have been pegged back fairly acutely. So we are seeing some evidence of economic slowdown, and that's to be expected when we're a year into a steep hiking cycle. And of course, we're likely to see more a more of an economic slowdown because of the variable and lengthy lag that we have in terms of monetary policy. Ultimately, there will be interest rate cuts, there will be more liquidity provided, and then the focus of attention will be back on inflation. And of course, the wild card here is what happens in terms of the oil price. And with oil way off the lows in here today, this could really be a nasty surprise for central bankers, and it could be a serious catalyst for pushing interest rates higher in order to curtail demand. So I think there is an additional risk premium in the market with this higher oil price. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.